Well, good evening. So glad to be with you here again this evening. I want to start by saying that in thinking about and praying about what I was going to talk about tonight, I realized that maybe over the last few messages that I've preached, I've been a little bit doom and gloom. A little bit pointed and challenging. And in thinking about that, I was a little convicted. And I started looking back on the last 13 years of preaching sermons, and I realized that that's kind of a theme every time that I get behind the pulpit. And I think it's because I'm so hyper-focused on how I want to be better and closer to God, and how I feel like we as Christians are called to be closer to God. And most of the sermons that I preach and the lessons that I teach come from what God is teaching me and how God is convicting me. But tonight, I felt led to go a little bit different direction. My goal tonight is not to be challenging. It's not to be aggressive or pointed. My goal tonight is to be encouraging. Is that all right with y'all? If we get a little bit of encouragement tonight. A couple weeks ago, I got to lead worship for some of my coworkers at our job during our lunch break. And in prepping for that, I was really hit with how much it seemed we needed encouragement right now as Christians. The last couple of years have been hard. There's no doubt about it. They've been frustrating. They've been challenging. And now as we are again seeing COVID numbers rise and political stuff is just as frustrating, as confusing and challenging as ever, I needed a little encouragement for my heart. And I felt like my team members at work needed some encouragement. And maybe tonight, some of us need some encouragement as well. So tonight, I have a couple of goals. One goal is to be encouraging. The second goal is to be short. I also have realized that in my old age, I've gotten long-winded. So I'm going to try my best to be a little bit better about that tonight. So if you turn with me quickly to Philippians chapter 1. This is a new clip. All right. Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. If you'll please stand with me as we read from the Word of God. It says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again so much for the opportunity we have to come together in your house tonight. We pray, God, that you just be with us tonight, that we would be encouraged, not by the words that I have to say, but by you and your Spirit and what you mean to us and how you move in our lives. God, let our hearts be turned back to worship of you, so that, God, we can walk out of these doors and you can use us in the mighty ways that only you can. Again, we thank you for who you are and for your Son. It's in his name I pray. Amen. So Paul here in this first chapter of Philippians is writing, and he always has these greetings. And in this greeting, we see that Paul gives some encouragement to the church at Philippi. Now, we've already mentioned 2020 was hard, right? It seemed like every day something new was coming out that was either frustrating or scary or aggravating or angering or confusing or sad. And we've gotten into 2021, and things looked up for a little while, and now not so much, maybe. With the things that are going on in Afghanistan, with COVID cases, like we said before, continuing to rise, we still find ourselves fighting these battles that have continued to drag on and on and on and on. And yet, as I look around this room, I see that we're still here. And as I look back on the last almost 2 years, I also realize that God is still doing incredible things. Yes, there are less people going to church across our nation than there were prior to all these things happening. Yes, we're still restricted to some degree, or sometimes to a large degree. But there's no doubt that as God's people have continued to strive to serve Him, He has been there. He has been involved, and He has continued to work in the lives of His people just like He always has. And that brings us to the verses that we read in Philippians. Paul, writing to the church at Philippi, shares with them something that I found very powerful for our lives today. In verse 3, he says, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." He says, "I thank my God for you always because of your partnership in the gospel." And I'm not going to lie, that hit me. Because while often we refer to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ and the family of God, rarely do I seem to think of those who are believers in Christ with me as my partners, as my team. And I thought it was very interesting that this morning Brother Michael preached on getting in the game, because it reminds us again that we are a team. And that's a big deal to me, because as a sports fanatic for my entire life, someone who's played sports for a significant portion of my life, the team concept is something that I latch onto very intensely. With my family, particularly with my wife, she's my partner. And we are taking on this life and reaching for our goals and tackling projects and the things that we care about together. And that means a great deal to me. With my job, one of the things that I love most about my job and about the company that I work for, particularly the Russellville facility of Pediatrics Plus, is that it is a very team and family-oriented place. And I love that about that place, that we work together both inside and outside of work. But here I am, with the biggest goal of my life and the most important work to be done, and I rarely consider how vital and important and powerful and supportive and encouraging my partnership with my brothers and sisters in Christ truly is. Paul had fought many battles. He had been through many things and endured many struggles. And Paul had gone through some of those things at times physically alone. And he realized how truly important it was for us as believers to have one another in our walk and in this work and in the battles that are sure to come. In fact, Paul also points out down in verse 7 that he's right to feel so strongly and so enthusiastically and so heartfelt for these people at the church of Philippi, because they had not only become his partners, but they had also become partakers in grace with him through hard times of imprisonment and through the defense of the gospel. Basically, Paul says, "You have supported me through it all. You've been through it with me. We've gone through the fire together. You've seen my suffering and you've stood with me in defense of the gospel. So I am thankful for your partnership and I'm excited for the completion that God is going to bring into your life when Christ returns and He's going to fulfill that purpose in you. I'm excited to see that because you have been a significant part of this journey with me." So with that, I want to take a quick second to say that this church means so much to me because it has been there with the struggles of my life. And at times when I have felt led to stand for the gospel, this church has been there with me. This church, many of the people in it, have been there when I've gone through parents' divorce, loss of loved ones, failure on my part, sin in my life, heartbreak, loss of relationships, loss of friendships. This church is, and many of the people in it have been there and supported me through all of that. And along the way, this church and many of the people in it have been there and supported me when God has led me to stand in defense of the gospel. Like when He brought me to the point of salvation. When God called me to preach. When God opened up the doors to be a part of worship. When God opened up the doors to be a part of worship in the college ministry. When He led me to teach our Sunday school class. None of those things could I have done without first the grace and the love and mercy of our God, and second, the support of this church. This church and the people in it have been partakers in my life and stood with me when I needed all the support that I could get. Because of that, I hold you in my heart. And I don't say it enough, nor will I ever, but it means a lot to me. And I'm excited for what God is going to do in the lives of the people in this place because I know the impact that it has had on me. So tonight, look around. Look around and see that these are the people that partake in your life. These are the people standing with you through the muck and the failures of your life, through the difficulties that Jesus promised us would come with following Him. These are the people He's given us to partake in our lives together. And for most, if not all of us in this room, they have taken part in our lives. Now, maybe they weren't and never will be perfect at it. And sometimes a lot of us aren't even good at it. But these people have been there. Through the thick and the thin, through the I have no idea how I'm going to do this parts of our lives, through political warfare, and yes, through COVID. These are the people given to us by God to stand with us. And I'm thankful for them. How about you? What the last couple of years has taught me is how important this partnership in the gospel and the taking part in grace together truly is. So the first thing I want to do tonight is to look around and tell each other thank you. Look around and tell each other thank you. I know it's awkward. Embrace the awkward. Brother Ben Hightower told me one time that if you embrace the awkward, you will win every social situation you find yourself in. And I believe that. Embrace it. Tell each other thank you. And the challenge that I'm going to send home, I know I said no challenges, but this one's easy, is in your prayers and in your conversations with God tonight, like Paul, thank God for your partnerships with those around you in the gospel. We have made it as a church through 2020 and through this portion of 2021 by the grace and the love and the mercy of God and the support of each other, and that should not go unnoticed. We should be thankful for these partnerships. The next thing we see I've already ahead of it, awesome, is that He will complete the work. The next point of encouragement that Paul gives us is that he reminds us that God is going to complete the work. He continues on in verse 6 and says, "And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Not only should we be thankful for the partnerships that we have in the gospel and how we take part together in grace, we also should be encouraged in knowing that God will complete the mission. We are far from finished products, are we not? The expectations and plans that God has for our lives are no doubt high. And if our goal is to be the men and women that God has called us to be, then we still have a ways to go. And God's plan for this earth, they're not complete either, right? He still has a mission, a goal, an end game, both for the world in general and for our lives as individuals that we have not yet reached. Thankfully, we do not serve a God who has started something in us that He cannot also finish. Now, I'm not a big baseball guy. I'll be the first to tell you. I appreciate it, and I can watch it when it stuff's on the line, like when the Razorbacks are in the postseason. I can get on board with that. But in general, I have a hard time with baseball. But one of the things that fascinates me and often frustrates me about the game of baseball is pitching and pitchers. And the thing that probably frustrates me the most about it is when a pitcher has pitched very well, played a very good game, has gone for several innings, and then something goes wrong and they're not able to finish. I get so frustrated because I'm so involved. Come on, you're so close. Close the deal. Inevitably, a lot of times, something happens. They get tired, they make a mistake or two, and they end up getting pulled from the game. And it frustrates me because when I see something like that, I want to see it come to fruition. I want to see it finished. And oftentimes when you watch these guys or these gals, they don't want to come out. They're not ready to be pulled. But the reality is that they just can't get it done. Luckily for us, we have someone who has started the game of eternity in our lives with a plan and a purpose, and He will finish. He will close the deal. We don't have to worry about Him getting tired or making mistakes. We don't have to worry about needing someone else to come in and seal the deal. We know that He will finish what He has started in us, and He will complete it. And that's encouraging because it lets me know that I'm not going to be left half finished. I'm not going to put into the effort and the investment into my relationship with God so that I can grow and then be left short of the end goal. But rather, I get to have confidence that my God will complete what He started when Christ returns. When Jesus steps out on that cloud, He will complete what He has started. And that's exciting. Because it lets us know that there is hope. And not just that I wish it would happen kind of hope, like I wish and I hope that the Razorbacks will keep winning. But it's a hope that is a confident expectation. One that I know is going to come to fruition kind of hope. So that no matter what happens, we know that God is going to do what He intends to do. We can trust it. We can take it to the bank. Our time, our energy, our working out, our faith through what we do will never be wasted. God's Word and our spreading His message will never return to us void. He will bring the good work that He has started in us to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That encourages me, and I hope that it encourages you also. Finally, he says, let your love abound. In verse 9, Paul says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. After speaking of their encouragement to him, Paul then takes a moment to encourage them. All the things before this have been primarily him speaking thanksgiving and appreciation to God and to them regarding their support of him and what that means to him. So he finishes up this little short piece of the chapter sharing what he cares most of all for them and how he wants to encourage them. And that is that they love more and more. Now, this isn't very surprising considering this is coming from the guy who also wrote the passage that says that nothing else matters if we don't have love. No spiritual gifts, no talents, no abilities, all of that is pointless if we don't have love. But why? Why does this matter so much? Why is that his prayer for them? Why is that the encouragement that he wants to get across to them? I believe it's because Paul understood as well as, if not better than anyone other than Jesus, that there's nothing that encourages a human more than living in and fulfilling their purpose. I mean, consider what we do as humans in this life to fulfill some sort of purpose. We train for hours on end. We attend school. We deal with our children. We work endless hours at jobs that we don't always love. Just about everything we do as people, as humans, is to fulfill some sort of purpose, to reach some sort of goal. We are driven to it. And what Paul understood was that living in our purpose is what makes life meaningful. And our primary purpose as Christians is to establish and build relationships with God and people, and then strive to foster relationships between God and people. And that purpose can only be fulfilled when it is founded in and motivated by love. Love is what makes our actions and our words as believers truly impactful, and thus is the only way that our lives come to have true meaning, as it's the only way that we can fulfill our purpose and live out our lives as Christians in the way that glorifies God. Which is why nothing else matters apart from love. No abilities, no gifts, no experiences, no anything. They're useless in our walks as Christians, because that without love, they cannot help us to fulfill our purpose. They have no fuel. They have no power to be truly impactful in this life if they have no love. So if we're going to be encouraged to keep walking forward in our lives as Christians and do the difficult things that God is inevitably going to call us to do, and endure the difficult things that God is inevitably going to call us to endure, the only way that those things will have impact that they're supposed to, the only way that we will encourage our hearts to keep moving forward without quitting, is if they are motivated by and saturated in love for God and love for people. Paul understood that that's how you get through. You appreciate who God has placed in your life and you love people more and more. But not only does he pray that their love grows more and more, but also that it grows in knowledge and discernment. meaning that this isn't just some blind, passionate love, but rather love that is grounded in our knowledge and our understanding of who God is and how He loves. We as people care very intensely about a lot of things. As a Razorback fan, I am keenly aware of this. But our passion and our love for those things often cause us to do more harm than good. Believe it or not, I have said some things that I ought not to have said, driven by my passionate care and love for the Arkansas Razorbacks. I have said and done things that I should not have done because of my passion for the Razorbacks. And we could fill in lots of gaps, not just the Razorbacks. Sometimes it's our jobs. Sometimes it's our kids. Sometimes it's whatever we want to put in there. Oftentimes we will do things that we should not do out of our blind love and passion for the things that we care about. But the love that God displays for us is not blind. It is intentional and knowledgeable and therefore holds even greater impact. This is important because having that love with knowledge and discernment, Paul says, helps us to understand and recognize what is excellent. Now, in the Greek, that word translated excellent in the passage that we read, it's used most often to describe understanding of something that has increased value, such as when it is stated that we are more valuable than sparrows in the eyes of God. When our love abounds and abounds in knowledge and discernment, we are able to understand what is truly most valuable. We are able to distinguish the things that hold the most value, things like relationships with God and people. Things like service to our Savior and Creator. Things like eternity versus the temporary. When we recognize those things, we are able to focus our lives on those things and our hearts become encouraged because it isn't weighed down by the heft of the unimportant with its waste of time and its energy and its emotional investments, but instead it is honed in on the things that are excellent, that are valuable, that bring satisfying and eternal return. And when we are able to do that, we can then be much closer to being pure and blameless on the day that we see Jesus face to face. And what a freeing moment that'll be. So tonight I hope that you are encouraged. That you realize that you are appreciated. That you have support from those around you and proof in the pudding that no matter how bad things seem to get, God is right there. And between Him and the other partakers of this life with you, you are never alone. And I hope that you know how valuable loving God and loving people in the sincere way that Christ loves us is the only way any of us are going to make it through as Christians in a manner that fulfills our purpose and impacts those around us in a real way. There is a plan. There is an end game. There is something that we have a hope and an expectation to get to experience when we see our Savior face to face. And so I hope that you are encouraged, that you know that you are appreciated, and that you also appreciate the gifts that God has given us in His Son and in the partnerships that we have in the gospel. This church has meant a lot to me over my lifetime. And that encourages my heart. And so no matter how bad 2021 gets, no matter what it looks like from a political landscape, no matter how bad the Razorback football team does, no matter what happens in this life, we have each other, and we have a Savior who has a plan and who is going to complete that plan. And that's all we need. That's all we need. Tonight, if you're here and you're not a part of that team, and maybe you can't feel that encouragement and that excitement and the enthusiasm that comes with being a part of the family of God, because you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, let me tell you, there's so much good waiting for you in a relationship with Christ. There's more hope than you'll ever find in anything else. The only thing standing in your way between you and that relationship with Christ is you and your sin. You see, we all have come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We all fail. And God in His perfection cannot be in the presence of sin, so there's a gap. Thankfully, God loved us enough to not leave us there, but send His Son to pay the price for our sin by dying on the cross and bridging the gap that we never could. And with that comes all the hope and all the encouragement that we could ever need to get through this life and to do so in a way that impacts people. And the only thing that God requires from us, that He asks of us to begin that relationship, is that we trust in God, that we believe in God, that we have that prayer, confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead. And the Bible says that you will be saved. Another promise of God that He will complete. And so tonight, if you do not have that relationship with Christ, if you never started on that journey with Him, if you're not part of the team, let's get that done tonight. I always ask, why are we here if we're not here to do business with God? Every single one of us, in some shape, form, or fashion, God is moving in our hearts, whether that's to encourage us, or whether that's to bring us closer to Him, whether that's to confront sin, whether that's to start a relationship with Him. God wants something out of each and every one of us tonight. So why waste this time? If you'll stand, we'll get ready as Brother Dale comes. We'll have a verse of invitation. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this night. And God, I thank You for this church and for what it has meant to me throughout my life, what it continues to mean to me in my life. And God, that You've given me these brothers and sisters to partake in this life together, me to support me, but also, God, to give me the opportunity to be supportive. God, it is so good. And so we thank You for being a God that we can trust no matter how bad things get, no matter what it looks like, no matter how confused we may be. We know that You are a God that we can put our absolute trust in, and we thank You for that. And above all, God, we thank You for Your Son. Because without Him, without His sacrifice, none of this would have any meaning or purpose or any hope. So God, we thank You so much for Jesus. Tonight we just pray that You would help us and convict our hearts to do business with You, that we would not waste the time that we've been given here tonight. Again, I thank You for who You are and for all that You do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.